The following program has been brought to you by Rolling Press, a family-run, eco-friendly printing company. For more information, visit rollingpress.com.
You're listening to heritageradionetwork.org, a nonprofit, member-supported radio station. We're millions strong, with folks tuning in from over 200 countries. We are education. We are entertainment. We are the future of food. May is our membership drive. Become a member and support us while receiving e-newsletters, advanced invites, special discounts, and a membership card. We need your support. Visit our website and click the donate button to become a member today. Thank you for believing in us and enjoy the show.
All right. Thank you for tuning in and joining us on the Heritage Radio Network on this lovely Friday afternoon. We are coming to you live from the back of Roberta's Pizza on a beautiful day in sunny Bushwick, Brooklyn. You are listening to a special session, a community session, and I'm your host today, Erin Fairbanks. We are in the studio talking shop with the who's who of the New York City breakfast world. I'm across from the sous chef at Egg, Maud Cernas. Maud, welcome to the show.
Hi, thanks for having me. Happy to be here.
Good. We are also, I should say, for those of you who are Roberta's fans, just starting to enjoy the first of the season's frozen drink. So getting right into the spirit of summer, delicious rum and juice concoction, which should help the interview right along. Well, Maud, let's start at the beginning, maybe not like the embryo stage, a little further out,
yikes.
But how did you get into cooking?
I went to college over at San Francisco State, and during that time, I would go down to the liquor store that I lived on top of, and I would charge the card my parents gave me, and I would just buy beer. And at some point, my dad asked me, Why are you charging so much stuff at the liquor store? And I decided to get a job just for a little money here and there, and he wouldn't ask me. And I started working at this place called Medicine, which was a vegan shojin cuisine restaurant. So they did vegan Japanese food. And, you know, I started as a dishwasher, and I somehow worked my way up to... you know, I went through their sushi, I went through their soups, I went through salads, and then I ended up, like, doing the hardest station, which was dashis. From there, I kept getting, I guess, taken from other companies, as I was known for working pretty well and having a good palate, so, I don't know, I've worked kind of in all sorts of food things.
So after that first job, I mean, it sounds like you kind of got, I mean, essentially maybe a little romance by the food industry. I mean, it's a kind of a jump from going to make some like extra beer money to making a career working in the kitchen, because cooking's not an easy job.
No, it's not. It's hard emotionally, physically, and yeah, you're constantly under everyone's like eye. You need to almost be perfect in executing everything you're doing, and you need an incredible amount of, like, organizational skills, especially if you're running something. But if you're not, then you just pretty much do what you're told. But, yeah, it became a love, because before I got into the industry, I honestly didn't even really care about food or where it was sourced or how it got there or anything like that. And Mr. Brian Waits and Mr. Aaron Nice, who were my first chef and sous chef, they really brought that awareness to me. We only sourced from like local Northern California farmers. Our tofu was made by this local guy who's now like really big in the Bay Area, and I can't remember what his company is called, but he has a stand over at the Ferry Building Farmers Market, and now he's like super big. Has like a whole production thing going on.
Nice, in the tofu world.
In the tofu world, and yeah, everything else was like Japanese and like really nice
So you were working at that first job, and then you said that, you know, kind of you went a little bit job hopping or hunting, or you know, you were getting kind of cherry picked from spot to spot.
I was, because Aaron Nice ended up, actually both those guys ended up working for Blue Bottle, and I, medicine actually ended up going under, and so I just went back to school, and I finished school. I have a degree in film post-production and art history. And they called me one day, and they were like, hey, we're building a savory program over at Mint Street Plaza for Blue Bottle. Do you want to come, like, help us? And it was only, like, a weekend thing, so I was only doing brunch. But Brian Waits and I would go over to the Ferry Building, you know, walk around and look at everything that they had there and just, like, pick everything that morning for that brunch service. And it wasn't that long of a brunch service, but, like, everything we picked out was, like, beautiful. Like, the menu was done on the fly. We would just, like, create the menu as we saw fit for that day.
And how did you get to New York?
Actually ended up traveling for a year and then going back to San Francisco. And after leaving my then-girlfriend of 4.5 years to go travel, she decided that we should probably move on. And I'd met and known so many people in San Francisco that I kind of on a whim decided to move out here. Because at that time, I think that was the peak when a lot of Blue Bottle kids started migrating out here to work on the East Coast. So I didn't end up working for Blue Bottle out here, but I decided that since all of my friends were moving out here, I'm going to take the plunge and move out here as well.
Interesting. So, I mean, what do you think prompted that migration? I mean, West Coast to East Coast, it's definitely, you know, a different climate, both the, you know, the weather and physically, but also the kind of mental environment, the pace of the city is super different on this side. What do you think prompted that kind of shift in the Blue Bottle team?
I feel like a bunch of the kids that worked for them were art-oriented, also very food-oriented, and a lot of us know the same people out here. In New York is New York. If you can do anything in New York, then you're pretty much well-respected everywhere. And if a company is going to give you a chance, like, going to set you up with a job, that is already a check off the bucket list you have for actually moving out here. I think all the things you need to worry about when you move out here is housing, a job, and that, I feel like those are the two things that you need to worry about. And with a job already taken care of, then
you're good to go.
You're good to go.
But you didn't end up working for Blue Bottle. So what did you do when you reached the Eastern Shores?
I actually had some money saved up. So I spent the first 6 months purely being out and about and just seeing what was here. So, you know, like I said, I would come to Roberta's for those Sunday night tiki dance things. And I'd meet a lot of people that worked all through the industry, people here. I was, like, tattooing people. I was, you know, eating dinner out all the time and just really acclimating myself to Brooklyn. And I know that's kind of weird because not everyone gets to do that, but I was fortunate enough to really be like Brooklyn without really being native Brooklyn.
Nice. You had like the space and, well, so you do tattoos as well?
Yeah, I would say they're prison style tattoos.
What does that mean?
They're stick and poke tattoos.
All right, so what is the stick? Oh, you're going to have to break it down for me more.
It's essentially a needle with a piece of thread wrapped around it, and that acts as the well for the ink, so it stays on there, and you're just doing the tattoo poke for poke.
And is there a particular type of, I mean, aside from that, like, technique of tattooing, do you do a particular kind of shape or genre, or, you know, is there something beyond that that you're known for?
It's simple line work, and I only tattoo other friends. I usually hope for them to tattoo me back, but that usually doesn't happen. But yeah, it's mostly all simple line work, their words like that.
What am I looking at?
You're looking at Dirt Bird. That guy is the mascot for the largest generic pharmaceutical company in Mexico. His name is Dr. Simi. This girl from Leeds, England gave it to me in Mexico City.
So the kind of tattoo exchange, I mean, leads me to believe that you probably have a number of tattoos.
Yeah, but they're all really small.
And so it's more, I mean, what is the idea behind the exchange? I mean, is it marking a moment in time? Is it a relationship? It's like, what is that about?
It's about relationship. It's about networking. It's about, you know, having a thing with each other, having a moment and sharing that moment. And yeah, just it basically makes you at that point family. If you can endure the pain of a poke for poke tattoo, then you've like cemented a kind of almost blood bond.
So you mentioned the tattoo there on your lower leg is a Mexican pharmaceutical logo, but you have another tie with Mexico.
Yeah, my family operates a chocolate company in Oaxaca, Mexico, which allows me to go to Mexico quite a bit, because that means I have housing there and I have something to do, but that's my tie to Mexico. I went and traveled there extensively 2 years ago and met a lot of wonderful people, got to know my family in the company. So, yeah.
Nice. And, well, now you're at Egg. You're the sous chef at one of Brooklyn's favorite breakfast spot. How did you end up there?
Through a lot of hard work. I ended up there because I've eaten breakfast there, and I needed a job at some point in Brooklyn.
the vacation had, or not the vacation, but the exploration had to come to a financial.
It came to a financial end, and it's not that I needed a job. It's just that I needed something to do other than socialize. So I've always loved Egg. Every time I've been in New York, I went and ate at Egg. It was so homey. It's almost like a homestead right now, but so yeah, I answered actually a Craigslist ad for it, and I knew they were farm based, and I knew like very vague things about Egg, but once I got in there, I started learning more and more about George and his philosophy and the way the company works, and just, you know, they introduced me to Heritage, you know, the whole company. We source our pork from you guys, and it's beautiful meat. It's local. It's great. You know, I was slightly involved with Slow Food in San Francisco, which you guys also do. I got involved with Egg like almost a year ago now, and have just been pretty much working my way up with, you know, just staying on top of the quality of our food, you know, building relationships with our farmers. We also source stuff from Oldfield Farm. My friend Tess Diamond actually runs that farm. And our current farmer at Egg is one of my very good friends, Eric Weaver. He's up there right now taking care of three new chicks and doing some major planting for our coming season. We're supposed to be getting some a delivery from him tomorrow morning. What's his name? The guy from Ronnybrook.
All right.
I can't remember his name right now, but I make him breakfast every Wednesday morning. He's working with us to get deliveries down. So it's like a really beautiful network to see going on. You know, everyone's helping each other out with deliveries. I'm just pretty much at Egg. Keeping the ship sailing,
you found a good home. Well, we are going to move to just a short break to get a little word in from our sponsor. And when we come back, I want to talk a little bit more about the menu at Egg and the scene over there, and maybe get some gossip on some of your regulars. So hang tight. We'll be right back.
You're listening to Black Hand by Peels on the Heritage Radio Network.org.
Like what you hear so far? Support the network and become a member. Membership helps us bring you the best food radio in the world and gives you access to thousands of dollars in discounts at the sustainably minded businesses that support us. To become a member, visit HeritageRadioNetwork.org today.
Today's program has been brought to you by Rolling Press. Rolling Press is a family-run commercial offset print house that brings together environmentally friendly methods, ethical practices, and personalized service. Founded in 1998 by Eugene Lee and his father, Cam Lee, Rolling Press represents the harmony of traditional craftsmanship and green technology. Rolling Press prints using soy and vegetable inks, uses a variety of certified and recycled papers, and they incorporate a chemical-free production process. For more information, visit rollingpress.com.
All right, we are back. You've tuned into a community session here on the Heritage Radio Network, and we are in studio with Maude Cernas. She's a sous chef over at Egg, one of Brooklyn's top breakfast spots. And so one of the things that I always have loved about Egg, but is also one of the things I think that would make it kind of challenging to work as a cook there, is that the menu is pretty set as far as like the breakfast scene goes. And, you know, I know when I always, when I would go, I'd always get the biscuit, you know, the country ham biscuit with the fig jam.
Oh, that's always a, it's a classic.
And yeah.
I feel like we put an emphasis on our menu and it being what it is because it's good. It's good in, you know, you don't really want to mess with anything that's good. But we do have really good specials and I'm constantly trying to figure out what to make. With all this new stuff that we have, is along with our chef Ed Quish, and he's really into having like steak and egg specials on the weekend. I believe we had like a soft crab sandwich special the other day, which looked very good. Really interesting though.
So I mean, what is the kind of hierarchy in the kitchen? I mean, how do the stations break down? Is there like a sweet side and a savory side? Is there the pancake cook and the egg cook, or like how does it break apart?
It's actually an actual line. It's almost like short ordering, but you have during the week you have two people working breakfast, and it's the expediter who basically choreographs the movement of your support cook, which is your line cook. And it's actually really beautiful because you can see someone expediting and doing it with such, you know, you can either crash and burn under stress. But when I first started doing it, I almost had to reset the kitchen because I didn't know what to do. I was so confused. I wasn't confused by it. I just wasn't used to it. But now it's not a source of stress that it once was. So you have your expediter who tells everyone else what to do. And then you have your two support cooks, which is really nice. And you're just working the line. And yeah, I guess on a brunch, you do have like a pancake cook, basically. So they're working like the flat top. They're dropping Roscoe's. They're dropping pancakes. They're dropping sausages. They're dropping French toast. And things can get tricky when you have a table that wants five orders of pancakes at the same time and you have to make all this other stuff. So it's kind of a puzzle. And then you have your gravy person. And then you have your egg person. Your gravy person's the middle person. And then the egg person is usually mostly the expediter, which would either be me or Ed Quish or a senior line cook.
And you said the Rothko. Now that I'm a big fan of that sandwich as well, but for folks who haven't had the pleasure, why don't you break it down for us?
Rothko is like a big grilled cheese with an egg in the middle and a side. It's a big fat piece of brioche. It's an egg in a basket. Or what is it, a moon?
Toad in a hole is what my mom always called it.
Toad in a hole. What is it, moon over Miami or something like that?
All right.
With a bunch of cheese on top of it. Really nice Grafton cheddar cheese and whatever side you want. And it's actually quite a nice thing to have after too many drinks here.
Too many of the frozen drinks that we are currently enjoying here at Roberta's. Well, so, you know, The consistency of breakfast, there's like something kind of ritual and special about kind of waking up, knowing what you're going to have. You know, I know whenever I, for whatever reason, I ordered the exact same thing every time I went in. I mean, I would have a bite of whoever else's plate was in front of me. But what is the kind of dining culture like there? I mean, do you have a bunch of regulars? Are there any regulars that really kind of like stick out for their kind of more esoteric kind of combinations or...
We do have regulars. I know there's a regular family that comes in and no one ever really tells you they come in, but you can tell by the ticket that comes in because it's always toast well done, one pancake, two biscuits, over easy, and then there's something else, but they always get the one pancake and it's usually a bunch of other stuff like that. But they also don't really... change from that. Maybe they'll go to a scrambled egg or two, but not really. And I mean, I know what you're saying by that. You know, you go to a restaurant and you order the same thing. I do the same thing. And you know, you go to egg, and if you go to egg for the Rothko, you're going to go to egg for the Rothko. It's kind of like going to diner and going there for the burger. You know, you're just going to go do that. You're going to go there for the burger. So it's kind of like that.
What do you guys make yourselves for breakfast in the morning?
Sometimes I don't even have time to eat in the morning, but I am a fan of soft scrambled eggs, and I never thought I was. I always thought they looked gross, but egg actually turned me, and I love...
Egg turned you on to eggs.
Yeah, it turned... Well, I'm a little allergic to eggs, but I still love... I eat them, even though I'm not supposed to, but I do love a soft scrambled egg. And it's so nice.
Awesome. Well, Ma, we are just about out of time, but, you know, looking towards the future, I mean, what does it hold for you? What does it hold for Egg? What can we be looking forward to?
Hopefully a lot more specials now that our farm has a full-time farmer, and I have a very close relationship with him, and I know exactly what's going into the ground, and I know exactly what's going to come down, and that offers me time to figure out what to do with it. So... hopefully very exciting specials and a lot of cookies.
Ooh, sounds lovely. Well, if folks want to find out more, you can check them out at www.eggrestaurant.com. Or if you're lucky enough to be located in the New York City area, check them out. They're right off the Bedford L stop at 135 North 5th. Egg is the restaurant. Make sure you say hi to Maud. Thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you for having me.
All right. This, like all 30 of our live weekly shows, are available for free on our website. You can find us on iTunes. Check us out on Stitcher Smart Radio. May is our membership month, so we hope you'll consider supporting us by becoming a member. Just visit www.heritageradionetwork.org and click that donate tab. In the meantime, stay tuned in.
Thanks for listening to this program on heritageradionetwork.org. You can find all of our archived programs on our website or as podcasts in the iTunes store by searching Heritage Radio Network. You can like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter at @heritage_radio. You can email us questions at any time at info@heritageradionetwork.org. Heritage Radio Network is a nonprofit organization. To donate and become a member, visit our website today. Thanks for listening.